Bradley, I lived a long portion of my life hating mile-and-a-half tracks. I was a season ticket holder with two infield spots at Texas Motor Speedway for a decade plus. Hated every damn – never saw a good race. Saw a bunch of good fights out there.
Yeah.
Saw a really good race. Maybe the one time I saw a good race is when Keselowski and Gordon got into it and all that. That might have been that was a good race. Okay, I'll say I saw one good race out there. The rest of them were just logging laps, riding around in a line. Every now and again, you know, somebody get loose, get tires worn, they come in, and you see a couple passes and all that kind of stuff. But couldn't stand mile-and-a-half tracks, and most of the damn circuit was mile-and-a-half tracks. Fast forward, we got a new car. We got a new pave configuration over there in Atlanta. Brother Bradley, I saw the best mile-and-a-half race I've ever seen in my entire life this past Sunday. I'm not even joking. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. We have been begging for years. Well, you and I have said this many times, Billy. When the driver is uncomfortable in the car, fans are happy in the stands. And them drivers couldn't do anything with those cars, Billy. It was bumping and pushing, and they could draft and all. I was like, what is happening here? My wildest dreams. I never thought we could have a race like that, Billy. It was so damn good. I'm kind of nervous to go to Vegas because if that race stinks, I don't know what the hell I'm going to think, Billy, but obviously this was a good race. I'm not even sure what else I could say about it, Billy. What you got any words of wisdom you can part on us on?
No. I mean, it was a good race. I don't want to be all Debbie Downer, you know, because it was. It was an amazing race. The finish, I mean, everybody's talking about, oh, gosh, what a finish. We see that type of finishes on restrictor plate because that's what Atlanta has become. It's become a baby Daytona, baby Talladega. We're drafting and stuff. I don't want to talk about the finish. The race and all the way up through the finish was amazing. I think they had the most lead changes ever at that racetrack. If not, it was really close. So I don't want to be hyped up about the finish because that doesn't what tells me it was a good race. It's all the racing before that. Was it a great finish? Absolutely. They raced clean. They raced hard, and they raced close. Nothing you could ask for better than that right there. So we're really excited to see what Las Vegas is going to bring for us.
You know what's funny, Billy? How many times, basically every year the Car Tomorrow was out, we all knew that the first 490 damn miles of a 500-lap, mile-and-a-half race was going to suck. But
yep.
Somehow – there was going to be a phantom caution that NASCAR would call to bunch the field up with 10 laps to go or less to try to get a good finish. And so the
yep.
only time you saw a good finish at those races was because NASCAR was like, God damn, we got to do something here, boys. We got a lot of time to burn here on TV. Now things have changed where, you know, yeah, the finish was fantastic. But if you watched all 200, how many ever laps it was, all 500, 400 miles of that, well, you were entertained every damn lap, and that's a very astute point. We used to get phantom cautions getting bunched up at the end to have a decent race, and we could say, well, at least the ending was good. Now we're like, dude, that race was fantastic from start to finish. If you didn't like it, you're not going to like anything about NASCAR. I thought it was super weird, Billy, how the cars would literally jump. I mean, they would hit a bump, and that car would go – you know, sliding all over the place. I don't remember being quite that violent. Do you?
No, I said I noticed the exact same thing. Like it was just like the wheel was jumping out of their hands.
Yeah, yeah. It was crazy how you know how this car has reacted to it. How the pave is done and all this. And you know, as this surface gets older, we'll see what happens. But I thought it was absolutely stunning. I think what we've seen here, Billy, is we have seen just how good these drivers are. You know, when you're 10 years ago, when you're driving around Texas Motor Speedway, it's follow the leader. Jimmy Johnson's going to get out front by the first pit stop, and he's going to stay out front until the end of the race. And you're going to hope to try to maybe move. Dale Jr. would start 16th to 21st, and he'd finish 13th to 15th. I mean, that's what Dale Jr. was going to do. Very hard to pass, those sorts of things. We saw movement up and down the entire place. But we need to talk about the fact that Michael McDowell is probably driving as good as he's ever been, Billy. He's been in the Cup car since he was with Michael Waltrip Racing. I mean, he's been around forever, and he's absolutely lighting it up. You pick Corey LaJoie so far. Corey LaJoie, he won me the Daytona 500. He won you Atlanta Motor Speedway. Son, the guy looks like a stud. I mean, you look at guys like even Hosovar. Gilliland, for Pete's sake, has led. Oh, I saw a little thing in the chat there. I think Wag sent it, but Gilliland's led more laps this season than Austin Dillon has in what, the last four? I think it is.
Four. Yeah.
I mean, Billy, it's crazy. Billy, we've got some really, really good drivers in this series.
Yes, absolutely. That's another thing that we failed to mention is, you know, we're not really, we don't have no, for what, probably, three, four drivers that you can say that probably doesn't have a very good chance of winning. I would say 3 to 4, maybe a little less. But any chance, at any other time, any of those other drivers has a chance of winning.
And you have to understand, Billy, you know, the whole time I was growing up, you two, there was 43 cars in the field. Then it went to 40. I think we got 35 or 36 that is that have run two races. So we got some of those cars out that that don't matter, you know, quite as much as they used to. But listen, man, I am just astounded at, well, if you remember the first year we had Undam Restricted, old dad on Billy got called to the office at Junior Motorsports because I said, Billy, the Xfinity race at Atlanta was so bad it wasn't even watchable because there was nothing but Cup guys in the top 15. You remember that?
I sure do.
Yeah, we got called to the carpet. There wasn't anybody over there at Junior Motorsports that was happy with because I said it and Billy agreed and went on with it. And then an Xfinity.
But it was the truth at the time. I mean,
Billy, it was absolutely the truth. And we were told that might be the truth, but, you know, we got sponsors paying us big fucking money, and you're sitting here saying shit like this and all that. Like, oh, okay, that's true. But we stopped letting Kyle Busch win all these damn races and the Xfinity Series. And now look what's happened. You know, we're 7-8 years removed from that, and now these guys have come up from Xfinity, so they've won races. You know what it's like to be up front and contend for wins, and it's made the NASCAR Cup even better, Billy.
Better, right. I agree with you 100%.
We all knew it was the right move. NASCAR was hurting for money. The only way these teams could get in there and get money for sponsorships, get Kyle Busch to run a bunch of these races and that kind of stuff, we weren't wrong, Billy. We just were dumb enough to say it on air because we're ignorant. But we weren't wrong. And fast forward, and now this is some of the best racing I've ever seen in my entire life. I have to go all the way back to probably the 80s. Probably some of the older tracks that aren't even around anymore to remember a time that I was this excited to watch the races. It's just really, really cool. We got to talk about Joey Logano. Joey Logano's been bad fast. Didn't have a good Daytona 500, did not have a good finish here. But, Billy, we have seen all the time people stick their fingers out the window, you know, hey, I'm passing and I'm going to go down to the pit and all that kind of stuff. Well, I've always seen guys, not always, but occasionally you'll see guys, you know, pulling on the window net during qualifying.
Uh-huh.
And I always thought that was weird they would let him do it, but this glove that Joey Logano, did you see the glove, Billy?
I didn't pay much attention to it whenever they were qualifying, and I saw it until they were talking about this web glove, and then I went by, I was like, holy shit, that's pretty smart.
Billy, I am 100%, whoever came up with that idea should get a damn raise.
They're in it. they're in such a tight box right now with their car that they can't do anything with it. So they're thinking outside the box.
If you'd have told me 10 years ago that a driver's glove would have helped them get a damn pole, I'd have said, you're crazy. What the hell? I mean, go back to watch Formula One or some shit. That's what I would have told them. But it absolutely is brilliant. It's the kind of stuff that, you know, Ray Evernham or somebody would come up with. It's absolutely brilliant. Chad Knaus, all these guys, you know, that have been doing this stuff, you know, forever, the mad scientists. And I was damn impressed. I wasn't even upset. And I'm not a Logano fan. I was like, guys, come on, man. This is crazy. But then we see Gregson and his teammate. I can't remember his damn name now. But, Billy, they got geeked with messing with I think it was the roof flaps again. And they're thinking outside the box too, but goddamn, they got hit hard, Billy, and points.
Yeah, they're thinking outside the box the wrong way. Like, NASCAR isn't messing around with this car. If you mess with it, you're in trouble. Like, and I think they set the tone from the start. They've been fair. They've been consistent. And I know that's a hard word you say together, NASCAR and consistency. But that's
sounds
one
weird thing
they've been consistent about.
Well, here's the thing. They took a lot of shit, rightfully so, from their sport's biggest stars, namely Denny Hamlin and Kevin Harvick, about that car being hard when it crashed. That car was hard on the drivers. And we've seen – Billy, we have seen crazy crashes through two damn weeks here. It's a little concerning when you watch these guys' heads snap back in these cars, and you see the shots they're taking in these cars, especially when a car hits the wall. It's very, very stiff. There's not a whole lot of give in there. We remember Carl Edwards, you know, kamikaze in the damn the wall to try to slingshot his ass around. I mean, hell, he didn't get hurt at all in that thing. But when you mess with this car now with NASCAR, they're taking it very, very serious because of the safety, because they're trying to lower the cost and that sort of thing for everybody. But I don't know why you would do that if you know what the potential problem is, Billy. I just 50 points. I think they got 50 points each, right?
I think so. Let me pull. Go ahead and let's keep talking about it, and I will double check it. But I'm pretty sure it was 50 points and a big fine.
Yeah, I mean you're doing
L1.
L1 penalty. You're doing this second race of the damn season.
35 driver and owner points.
Oh shit. Okay.
And a $10,000 fine.
Well, that's not as bad as I thought it was. What did Logano get?
Let's see if they have that. Not seeing anything on that one yet.
Well, excuse me. This is all to say, that's a tough spot to put your team in, especially young drivers. You know, Noah Gregson, not had a great start to his year, huh?
Right off the start, that is a huge deficit. I mean, we saw Denny Hamlin last year had the big fine there. And if you look at all those points, I mean, you're putting him into the final four with the points he lost over the podcast. Yeah, I've not seen anything with the Logano.
Okay, well, Noah Gregson right now, finished 36th at Atlanta. He was in an accident. How about Daniel Suarez, bud? The old Migo, super nice guy. I think everybody is happy to see him win. When he busted that pinata, that was the best thing. I mean, the watermelon is pretty damn cool. The watermelon is really cool. But the taco, I think the taco is better, Billy.
I would agree.
Yeah, that's some creativity there, but he gets his first win, and he absolutely went for it. That's not something that the other two drivers, Ryan Blaney and Kyle Busch, they didn't lose that race. Daniel Suarez went up there and won it. Kind of like Ryan Blaney won the championship last year. Daniel Suarez said, fuck you, I'm coming up, and I'm going to do number one, and he got it. We mentioned Blaney and Bush being right there. Austin Cindric, another good run. Here's the guy I want to talk about right here. Bubba Wallace finished fifth, Billy. We may, after years of talking about how damn dumb he is when he gets behind the wheel, so far, shit, Billy, he's driving like we all thought he would drive 6-7 years ago. I've been really impressed by how he's handled himself. I think maybe finally he's matured.
Yeah,
he definitely
I think that's
has the talent. Yeah, he definitely has the talent, but he never had the maturity. He never had the, you know, he would get his emotions would tell him what to do instead of his brain, and we saw that affect a lot of his races and his career too. I mean, he'd still be a Jack Roush if he'd had his head on straight. But I'm really impressed with Bubba and what he's doing. And I think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it, because those guys are acting like a team that's going to be there at the end every week, Billy.
Yep, and I think the maturity level has picked up. But one thing I think that has helped Bubba Wallace is when they brought Tyler Reddick over there. Bubba Wallace was like, Bubba Wallace knows what kind of driver Tyler Reddick is. And that's pushing Bubba Wallace to be better. I can't do this dumb shit that I was doing last year. You know, there's another. I've got competition here now, so I have to step it up. So I think
good
that's
point,
what
Billy.
Bubba Wallace up.
When Kurt Busch was over there, Kurt Busch didn't scare him. Okay, Kurt Busch. He's like, Kurt Busch is on his way out. They make a move for Tyler Reddick. All of a sudden, that sticks out. Damn it. I need to start finishing good. I need to start, you know, finishing ahead of him, which means I need to pick up, you know, 10, 12 spots every race. And to his credit, he's doing it and doing it really well. We got to talk about old Brad Keselowski. Brad Keselowski's been very fast these couple weeks, Billy. Accident, I mean, you could argue he caused the entire thing there at Daytona, but in another accident, finishes 33rd. But your boy Buescher, did pretty well all night. He ends up with a top 10. He finished ninth, Billy.
Yeah, this was a race that Keselowski racing really needed to try to dig themselves out of the hole.
Yeah, I agree. Yep, I agree 100%, and that didn't happen, and it got him pushed back there pretty far. Speaking of where everybody is, we got Kyle Busch, 1, William Byron, Cindric, Bubba Wallace, 4th, Blaney, 5th, Elliott, 6th, Suarez, 7th, Chastain, 8th, Alex Bowman, and Martin Truex Jr. Round out the top 10 notables. Corey LaJoie is 12, but check this out. You got Brad Keselowski is 34th in points. Austin Dillon is 33rd in points. Joey Logano is 31 in points. Those guys got to have a good race in Vegas, or it's going to be a deep shit level, I would think.
Yeah, oh, I agree with you 100%. I mean, Brad Keselowski's out down there with freaking Jimmy Johnson, and Jimmy Johnson just raced one race.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson's below Brad Keselowski by like 6 or 8 points, and Jimmy Johnson wasn't there last week.
And we also mentioned Austin Dillon's got to step his program up. I mean, he's, 33rd, and then Kyle Busch is, where's Kyle?
First.
Oh, yes. Kyle Busch is leading the points. So
that's bad.
Pappy's money ain't going to carry him too much longer.
Well, we at the beginning of the year, this was pointed out to me on Twitter in some comments, but I asked you if this was a must-do year for Buescher, and you said, Buescher, hell, he won races last year, and we figured that Austin Dillon was probably the one on the hot seat, but what was the likelihood that he wouldn't drive there anymore? I can tell you this. If it keeps going like this, he will not drive there next year. I don't think his granddad would let him stay there, Billy. I think if he finishes, you know, outside the top 25, I think I don't even know what his contract is, Billy, so I'm gonna speak with a little bit of ignorance, but if he doesn't have a good year, if he doesn't have a top 25 this year minimum, he could be done. And if he doesn't have a real good year, the writing is on the wall for sure, because Tyler Reddick's a stud. He leaves. He wins races. Kyle Busch is over here masterfully, leading the points after two races and doing really, really well. So I think if anybody's on the hot seat, it's definitely Austin Dillon. We'll see how it all transpires. But it's real interesting if you look at this, you know, this top 16. You got Denny Hamlin 19th, Michael McDowell 20th, Chase Briscoe at 22. Josh Berry is 29th, but he hasn't had the greatest luck. So Stewart Haas Racing has got some work to do, but nobody has any more work to do than Brad Keselowski and Austin Dillon. Those two guys need to have a real good race. We got some really big news today, Billy, from our good buddy Dale Jr. He's been really coy about his contract negotiation. In the last couple of weeks, especially, in his podcast, he talked about, coverage, TV coverage, and made comment today. You sent me the clip. I heard it. You sent me the clip on Twitter. We talked about he's got to be at the race and all this kind of stuff. And lo and behold, he signed with Warner Brothers and Amazon to do their 10 races. They do five each in 2025. And, immediately, what comes to my mind immediately, Billy, is he's sitting here with a bunch of new people, all right? He didn't do this podcast forever. Mike Davis did, right?
Right.
He comes in. He and Mike Davis are a team. They've known each other since 2004. Really, Junior looks as cool and as comfortable as I've ever seen him, and he's in there with a bunch of, I don't particularly like them, but they're okay. You know what I mean? I mean, they're okay. But he's having the time of his life in there, okay? Time of his life in there. Amy was on the damn podcast about Daytona 500. Super relaxed, very, very informative. But as soon as I heard that, I was like, this Mike Davis going to be the president of a new company ain't just by accident, Billy Bradley. I mean, we can talk that all you want. And this might not have been the plan, you know, way back in December, but I guarantee you this was a high probability, and they went ahead and made the change just in case. What do you think?
I agree. I even sent it through the group chat, I think. I knew it was strange when, you know, Mike stepped away from the podcast and became the president of Dirty Mo Media. There's a bigger picture here, and I cannot wait till – I know it's going to be great for us race fans, but – and I may be wrong. I may not be – but I think something big is about to explode out of Dirty Mo Media with the signing from Amazon. I definitely think this is the last TV contract. I definitely think NASCAR is going streaming next year or when the TV contract runs out. And this is the time for Dirty Mo to – I don't know what's coming up, but Mike Davis and them are very smart people.
Yeah, they're usually on the cutting edge. I'll never forget when Mike Davis asked me if I would call in so he and Taylor Zarzer could see how a phone interview would do for his podcast. And I was like, what the hell's a podcast? I didn't even know what the hell he was talking about. That was Mike Davis that started all this shit. So I think there's something bigger in the works than what we've heard about today. I am excited to see what it is. Long time friend of mine on Twitter, Rachel Gordon, she said she needs to see something from Junior, like the Manning cast.
Yeah.
I mean, something like that would be awesome. You know, he could
it
have
would kill.
On.
We talked about it, but when NBC's first race, if he does something like it would kill their ratings. Done.
Billy, I tell you this. I mean, I'm a Kentucky basketball fan. Growing up, Kentucky basketball in Kentucky was always on TV. And we turned down the TV and we listened to the radio because we liked the radio announcers better, okay? I can see this being a situation where we would watch the TV and then listen to Dale Jr. as he's watching the TV and just talking about it. You know what I mean? I would do that because I think Dale Jr., even by himself, will be pretty good. Now, and by the way, I'm not knocking, you know, Harvick and Mike Joy and those guys here, but when it comes to NBC, I mean, who the hell are they going to get to replace? Because Harvick is good. Boyer is good. Who's going to do NBC? Do we know who's doing NBC?
Not yet. I know Letarte signed a contract last year, so we know he's coming back. But
Let me put it
you got to have a driver in there.
I'm not a fan of Jeff Burton in the booth. I've said it from day one. I don't think he brings anything more than Dale Jr. does. Letarte's okay. I like Letarte. I think Larry McReynolds is better, but Letarte's okay in there. And who's the announcer? What's his name? The tall guy? I can't remember his name now.
Oh shit! If you had no, damn it.
Him. I mean, he's real, good. He's not better.
Rick Allen. No.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah, Rick Allen. He's good, but he's not better than Mike Joy. I mean, so they just took that. There's nobody they're going to get because the two best guys are doing it right now. The three best guys are doing it right now. Mike Joy, Kevin Harvick, and Clint Boyer. Those are the three best. There ain't nobody coming out, you know, that's going to do any better than Dale Jr. So the NBC broadcast, in my opinion, just got a lot shittier than it did last year. Junior was kind of the glue that held all that together, in my opinion. And I think this – and Junior is so relaxed. I swear I think I would listen to him call a race by himself. Or maybe – I mean, shit, he'd probably call it just fine with Amy or maybe a couple of his buddies, you know, come over and have a few beers. And, I mean, I think it would be cool as hell, Billy. And I think there's some value there. And I think that
yes.
if they're not thinking about doing this, I'd be shocked. I mean, you got to think that – Dale Jr. is not going to just sit around and
no, I don't think that Dale Jr. like I think Dale Jr. wanted to because he has talked too much about it. I mean, like and he loves race. He loves NASCAR.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is, you know, I had this show on Peacock, the Lost Speedways. They did all this stuff. Now he went to the Olympics, Kentucky Derby, all this kind of stuff. I mean, for all I know, they wanted Dale Jr. to do a bunch of shit that wasn't NASCAR. He's like, nah, I really don't want to. I mean, I don't know why. It seemed to me like Jr. was not happy at the negotiations.
Yeah.
I'm not privy to anything, by the way, Billy. It just seemed to me like
no, me
he
neither.
Wanted to be signed, right?
Yes, I agree. I got the same thing out of it, just the way he's – and like I said, all we know is what everybody else knows. That's what's heard on the podcast.
Yeah. And see, I think what Junior did and Mike Davis and Kelly, I think they said, hey, my contract's up. This might be a good time for Dirty Mo Media to take a big whack at what's going to happen, like you mentioned, at the end of the next TV contract, get ourselves put in a good position. You know, maybe they get streaming services or something, you know, and then they can do some broadcasts or who knows what's going to happen. But I just think this isn't just a quinky dink, Billy. I think it's all somewhat coordinated. And I don't know that they started the season knowing that this was going to happen, but I think they made these moves in place, one, because they probably needed to, and two, just in case something like this would happen, they'd already have everything in motion and ready to start. So I'm very intrigued, super excited to see how this comes up. We're going to find out more about this. I mean, I'm sure next week on the podcast he'll talk about it.
Yeah, Dale Jr. is not signing with Amazon and Warner Brothers just for shits and giggles. I mean, there has to be something there. I mean, he's too invested in the NASCAR. I mean, it's not like he's signing a driver's contract.
Yeah. Well, the biggest streaming place on the planet, cloud systems, is Amazon. I mean, everybody's hosted by Amazon. You know, so I could definitely see something going there. But it's really intriguing. I was a little bit. Actually, the day before the news came out, when he was talking about on, I was listening to his podcast, and I was like, damn, Kentucky Derby's coming up. Don't you think they'd have to have all this shit in place? That's weird. And then he announces this thing. So one thing for sure, it's always a good thing when Dale Jr. is at the racetrack, and I'm sure he'll be at the racetrack. I hope he does something between, you know, now in 2025, because that would really suck. But he does tweet sometimes during the race, Billy. So, I mean, maybe he'll just watch a race on Twitter with everybody, and that would be pretty cool, too. We'll see how it goes. But we got to get to Vegas first, Billy. Had a great racetrack. I mean, great race in Atlanta. We're coming up there. We've already talked about the drivers that have to do well. Here's somebody that does well at that place and needs it, and that's Joey Logano, Billy. Here's somebody that runs well out there and needs it. That's Brad Keselowski. Those two guys are good out there, especially Logano. They have to have a good finish, Billy. They're just in deep shit. Do you think Brad Keselowski has a top 10 this week or no? I know you're a gambling man, too, Billy. That's why I asked you, because I don't fucking know. What do you think? Is he a top 10 or not? Let's bet on it. You take one side, I'll take the other.
I want to say yes because he needs it, but I think the way his season has started out, I wouldn't put any money on him finishing in the top 10.
You wouldn't?
No. But I think, yeah. I mean, he's caused too many accidents, so.
He ain't got any friends out there, Billy.
No.
He ain't got any friends. And here's the other thing. Look at all the drivers in the top 10 now. Who's he going to beat? Brad's in danger.
Yes.
Brad's in big-time danger. We also know Kyle Busch runs well out there, Billy. And Kyle Busch is leading the points. I think that bodes well for Kyle Busch. There are not many drivers that are harder to beat when he's on a roll than Kyle Busch. I mean, in all of NASCAR history, Kyle Busch is a top 10 guy when he's got momentum on his side. It's just hard. I mean, he's absolutely a stud. I get to go first this week since Corey LaJoie won for you.
Well, let's hold on just before we start picking. And for anyone that listens to the podcast and is going to Vegas, I'm going to go ahead and apologize now because it's going to rain because our pal Johnny Hayes, a.k.a. House Mom, is going to be there. So it's going to rain.
Billy, I forgot about that. I'm gonna put his ass on blast on Twitter so everybody knows it's his fault. I promise you, I haven't even looked at the weather. It's going to damn rain out of nowhere.
I haven't looked either.
Doesn't matter. Johnny's going. It's going to rain. I'm going to take Kyle Busch to win this thing. And out there on this track this is going to sound really stupid. I almost want to take Ricky Stenhouse just because, I don't know, man. I just got a feeling Ricky Stenhouse is going to do well, but I'm not. Damn it. You know what? I'm going to go. I think I got to go. I'm worried about the Fords, by the way, Billy. They don't seem like they have a shit ton of speed. Does it look like that way to you?
I agree with you on that. I do.
Yeah, I think they're I think they're lacking in some speed right now, but because I really want to take Chase Briscoe, but I'm going to stick with Corey LaJoie as a dark horse, Billy. As long as it's winning, I think I'm going to go with it. Who you got?
Well, I'm glad you went with, because I thought you might went with the other manufacturers and the Toyotas. So I'm going Tyler Reddick and Ty Gibbs, Team Toyota.
Dude, those are two good picks. Ty Gibbs was having a pretty good race until he wasn't. But those are both good picks. The race is Sunday. And, Billy, the wedding, by the way, last week was great. And fantastic.
I saw you gave the ticket back to her.
I did. I gave the ticket back to her. There wasn't a dry eye in the house. I practiced crying for 3 days so I could get all my tears out. I did pretty well, Billy. I think I only cried twice during the week. Now, I about lost my shit when I did the first look. Billy, I know you don't know this yet. I hope there's a lot of dads out there that have done this. But see, when I got married, now I got married in 1991. I'm fucking old. All right. We didn't do first looks. You know what a first look is?
No. What's the first look?
Okay. So first look is, you know, used to the groom would never see the bride until the wedding.
They walk down the aisle. Yes.
The father of the bride would never see the bride until he walks her down the aisle.
Now
they do pictures before, and you have what you call first look. So they take a picture of the groom seeing the bride, and then the father seeing the bride. I don't know how anybody ever did it without a first look. I would have been a fucking mess. I'd have been a puddle of goo trying to walk my daughter down the aisle, look like a fool, Billy. There's no way I could have done it. Thank God I had a first look.
So that kind of helps the situation, I would imagine, because you're not seeing her for the first time when you're walking her down the aisle crying like a baby.
That's right, because trust me, I was. I couldn't stop it. It was crazy. But, Billy, had a great time, fabulous time. Everybody had a great time. Here's the thing. The week before in Kentucky, it was like 68 degrees, and then on that Friday, it snowed like 3 inches. It was like 29 degrees, 30 degrees. My daughter was sick last week, okay? As of today, which is Thursday, wedding was last Saturday, of 250 guests, there's like 50, I think it's 53, I won't say 53, maybe 54 guests that have some sort of illness, Billy. We got flu type A, flu type B, we've got the intestine flu, we've got COVID, we got strep throat. Everybody showed up to that fucking place sick. And it's crazy, which is, so last week I thought I was just hungover. Turns out I got the flu, Billy. So I did watch the damn lap of the race.
I think that's going around pretty heavy is all the both flu A, flu B, strep throat, and of course COVID. I mean, so yeah. It's making its rounds.
Yeah, it's crazy over here, but this is all to say, I got to work. I work today. And I got to work tomorrow. I ain't doing shit this weekend, so I'll likely watch the entire race again. I mean, granted, this is based on the fact that it still happens because Johnny Hayes is going, and we know that son of a bitch carries a rain cloud in his back pocket.
Absolutely.
But hopefully we'll be able to watch. We'll be able to watch 2 weeks in a row. Billy, I'm excited about what we saw in Atlanta. I'm looking forward to Las Vegas. Looking forward to sitting on the couch and doing nothing again this Sunday. Let's go out to Vegas, son. Roll a dice. See what we come up with.
Let's go.
Damn, girl. Damn. Can you just, chill for a second and stop being bougie all the dang time? Let's have some fun, all right? Let's go. Bottoms up.
Slow down.
Drinks on me.
Oh, wow.
Later on, after party, my crib. But this girl on my right shit.
Why you gotta be so bougie? So bougie, bougie. Why you gotta be so bougie, so bougie, bougie? Yeah.
You gotta chill, need to relax. Not everywhere needs a VIP pass. Keep it up, you'll have no real friends left. Designer clothes aren't gonna earn you respect. Just stop, you're being too loud. Your trash talk won't make your mama proud.
snap, snap, show your picture perfect, fake laugh. Back up, you ain't even in the limelight.
Bottoms up,
sold out, sold out.
Drinks on me,
oh wow, oh wow.
Later on, after party, my crib, but this girl on my right shit.
Why you gotta be so bougie, so bougie, bougie? Why you gotta be so bougie, so bougie, bougie? Yeah, 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 yeah.
Girl, you gotta chill, why you so damn thirsty? Oh, he got a rollie, now you so damn basic. Man, I ain't saying you a gold digger, but what you doing to SLS when you stay at Azusa? It's okay, not my bed, so I'm gonna walk away. Got better shit to do than to entertain you. Said she want the Fendi swimsuit with the Fendi shoes. Then she looked at me, I said, you picked the wrong dude.
I'm out.
Bottoms up,
slow down, slow down.
Drinks on me,
oh wow, oh wow.
Later on, after party, my crib, but this girl on my right shit.
Why you gotta be so bougie, so bougie?